Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word with Bob Wise. This is Monday, a new day, a new week again, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about the false teachers that the what they are, who they are, and that type of thing. What's going on with them? I read a great article by Sandy Simpson. Boy, he writes some good stuff. Got some good books, DVDs, CDs, articles. Yeah, check him out on the internet. We've got a link to him on our links pages on ForgottenWord.org. So check out Sandy Simpson. You'll really appreciate what he's got to say. Anyway, Sandy wrote an article back in 2009 that is so relevant still today. He wrote some articles about this earlier, but this was kind of an update of that particular deal. But anyway, he talked about some of these false teachers and preachers and what they do and what they say, and he commented a little bit. So I thought I would share that with you because it's got some great information, some really, really, just really good information about some of these guys, what they talk about, and there's some comment on. So let's start off here. We got Francis Frangipane. I don't know exactly if that's how you pronounce that. Frangipane. Looks like Frangipane, something like that. He made a quote that said, "The church has many administrators, but few examples of Christ. Many who can explain the doctrines of Christianity, but few who walk as Jesus walked. Indeed, while many stand in leadership today, not many function in the higher realms of authority that Christ purchased for his church. However, a new badge of authority is coming to the church. It will bring deliverance on a scale unprecedented. In some cases, entire cities will be turned towards God." Now, he made that comment back on 8/17 of 2009. So what Sandy had to say about that made a lot of sense. He said there's two things wrong with that teaching. One is this is just yet another long diatribe against the church by someone who, has demonstrated over and over again that he doesn't even know what the church is, because he's, having taught false doctrines of the Latter Rain movement for decades. He don't even know what the church truly is. You cannot walk. Number two, you cannot walk as Jesus walked unless you walk in sound doctrine. Francis is, not doing that. Number three, there be no conversion of entire cities. There's no such thing called for in the Bible under the New Covenant. This is part of the transformations agenda of the new apostles, apostolic, which is the NAR group. Jesus is saving individuals today, but not through false teachers. Now, I mean, that's just the way it is. Their agenda is to take over the world. These false teachers think they can take over the world. And that's what this Francis is talking about. We're going to take over the entire cities. And then they'll go on from there. They're going to take over the whole world for Jesus. And win the whole world and make it right for when Christ comes back. So anyway, their agenda is take over the whole world. The true agenda of a Christian, though, is to preach the gospel and disciple those from all nations who repent and believe. I mean, that's what this is supposed to be all about. So this Francis, he's just kind of off base on all of that, and it's easy to see that is the case. But anyway, let's go on. Paulette Reed is another one who made some comments. Let's see what Paulette said. Here's what happens. As we're serving God as his royal priesthood, a day comes when he no longer calls us servants, but he calls us friends. Now, she made that comment back on 8/15/09. That's another quote of hers, this one that come about. The problem with that is God became our friend through his son, and our belief in him resulted in repentance. But we've always had to remember that he is God. There is no time, even in eternity, when we will not be his servants. But yet they're saying we're not going to be his servants anymore. We're going to be just his friends. So that's how they change the scriptures around. We are his priest, his representatives on earth, but we will always be his servants. And that's what's going on in today's societies. They're turning us into God and God into the servant. And that's just not the way it works, folks. And it's not going to happen that way. It's not supposed to happen that way, and it's not going to. I'm sorry to break the news to these guys. Let's see who else we had on here. We had Al Thomas. I don't know. And some of these names, now, folks, listen to me. You may not know some of these people right off the bat, but I want to emphasize with you that there are so many people out there today under preaching under the guise of the Bible and the Lordship of Jesus Christ that are false teachers and preachers, that it's just amazing. And you're going to hear some names you've never heard of before, and that's okay. I want you to, you know, write them names down as you hear them and look them up, study them. It just goes to show you, it will go to show you how far along this movement has gone and how far away from the Bible we in the church, by and large, have gotten. And it's really, really heartbreaking. It's sickening. And something needs to be done about it. And hopefully we're helping to be part of that something. And we certainly would, you know, want you to listen up so you can be part of that also. Defeat this nonsense that's going on out there. Al Thomas said, people needed miracles in those days as much as they need them now. Maybe you need one, or you know someone who does. Overshadowing means good news. Soon many prophets will predict God's glory overshadowing the church. This is good news. I have no use for doom and gloom, always giving out bad news. Yes, we all need repentance, but making people feel guilty makes people run from God, not to God. The church doesn't need bad news. Sinners don't need bad news. They know how bad they are. They need the liberating power of God. Now, he made that statement back then also. Now, listen. The whole point of the gospel, folks, is that sinners need to know that they are sinners and that they need to repent. That's in Luke 15:10. You cannot preach the gospel if you don't preach the entirety of the gospel. People will be confused. People will be misled into thinking that there's just one thing, and that is love and love alone. And if you love Jesus, you're going to heaven, and it doesn't matter what you did in the past. You don't have to repent from it. You don't have to change from it. You don't even have to recognize it. You don't have to do nothing. Well, that's not the way it works. You know, we need to know that we're sinners. We need to repent from that sin. Luke 15 tells us that. Now, worldly people don't know that or recognize it because their minds are darkened. And that, they talk about that in Ephesians 4:18. Only by the proclamation of the gospel can men know true guilt before God. And that's Romans 10:14-15. So listen, when the Holy Spirit convicts a person, he does so because they've been made aware that they are sinners for the first time. You understand what that just said now. When the Holy Spirit convicts a person, he does so because they have been made aware that they are sinners for the first time. Well, they've got to know they're a sinner to become aware that they're a sinner and to have to repent from that sinful lifestyle. These guys would have you believe just the opposite. That you don't, they don't need to know nothing about it. John 16:8 said, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt, or will expose the guilt of the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. It is then that they must choose to repent and believe or reject Jesus Christ, Acts 3:19. Miracles do not make people believe. Mark 8:11-12 said that. You know, we have ample evidence of that in the Old and New Testament, Numbers 14:11 and John 9:18. If we do not know we are sinners and believe on the one who became flesh as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, the only place the word overshadowed is used in the Bible, then we cannot be born again, John 3:3. Now listen to what that all says. We have to understand we're sinners. We have to repent from our sins. And that's the only way we're going to know repentance through Christ. Now keep that in the back of your mind, that's important. That's keep it in the forefront of your mind even. It's just very important to understand that. Okay, what else? We got this guy that I have studied a lot on. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about this guy. But anyway, Kim Clement. Kim Clement. He's a gospel singer and a self-proclaimed. And that's what I want you people to really hang on to that terminology. Self-proclaimed. He's a self-proclaimed prophet. So many of these people are self-proclaimed prophets. You know, I want to be a prophet. I do that. I that. You know, it's just God either calls you or you don't. Period. Stop the nonsense. The idea, here's what Kim says. The idea that God is God and man is man, and that the two may meet but never merge, and that there is a fellowship but never a fusion, is untrue and contrary to the Holy Scriptures. A theophany is a visible manifestation of God to a human being. Pretty darn neat, and enough to make us realize that we are, as Peter says, a peculiar and special people. Now, what Clement is teaching here is a not so subtle teaching that continues from Word of Faith teachers. That is that we are all little gods. We are not a theophany of God. Jesus Christ, as the angel of God in the Old Testament, was a theophany of what he would become in the incarnation. The Holy Spirit indwells believers, and we have the weight of glory in us to proclaim his gospel and live like him and for him in the world. But we are not him. We're not him. We are his children. He is our Abba. We are his bride. He is our groom. We are his servants. He is our master. We are his inheritance. He is our God. Teaching that we are a theophany, a part of God himself, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, is and continues to be blasphemous, in my opinion. Now, what's another guy? John Mark Poole. The Lord says, I did not send you into this world to judge and condemn, but to loose and liberate through simply sharing the good news of my love. Do not judge anything or anyone before the time. Commit all judgment unto me, for I do so righteously and justly. Now, this is actually a false prophecy, folks. And that's from John Mark Poole. The Lord would never say this. Why? Because he already stated in his word that we are to judge those inside the church as God judges those outside. That's for 1 Corinthians 5:12. We are to judge and test everything. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And there are ways in which he has told us to judge. Someday, true believers will judge the nations and even the angels in the millennial kingdom. That's 1 Corinthians 6:2 and 3. So that prophecy this guy says is just, it's false. It's a lie. But there's tons of people believe these guys because they said so. That is a truly sad and amazing part of the whole series on these guys. There's just a lot of these guys out there. And let me get one more here. Doug Addison was quoting Bob Jones and Larry Randolph. You probably heard them. He says, last April I was talking on the telephone with Bob Jones, who told me he was in heaven and saw that books were being reconciled regarding people's destinies. A short while later was talking with Larry Randolph, who said that he saw the court of heaven in session and that there are things about our future that have not been determined as of yet. Now that really strikes me as sad. And I think we're just going to stop and pick that up tomorrow and give you some comment on that. But he's saying that Bob Jones is in heaven and that he's, saw that there's books being reconciled regarding people's destinies and all kinds of different things like that, and that he's in heaven at that point in time. You're going to find, after I talk to you a little bit about that, we'll answer that in the morning, but there's a lot of this going on with these false prophecies. I want you people to understand that I wish it was not the case. I wish there were no false prophecies, but there are. So bear with us. Be with us tomorrow. We love you. God bless you. See you in the morning. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CampPoint, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.